Podcast. We are coming to you from the heart of the Midwest in Kansas City, Missouri. My name is Eric Milner. With me, as always, my best friend and co-host, the Tim Riggins to my Jason Street, Micah Conkling. Micah, we back and we celebrating.
I can only hope that I'm the Tim Riggins to your Jason Street, not because there was a portion of our friendship when you were wheelchair bound.
That is part of the reason why, when I was in a wheelchair for almost 2 years.
But because I am also the only one of us to have long hair.
That's true. You did have that. I can't really do that. No. Okay. Hey, man, guess what? Guess what today is?
Today is October 3rd.
October 3rd. That's not a guess. That's just the date. But, man, it's the 10th anniversary of your and I's favorite television show of all time, the great Friday Night Lights.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Can't lose.
10 years ago today, the first episode of Friday Night Lights premiered on NBC.
Oh, man.
The show, if you've never seen it or don't know much about it, was created by Peter Berg.
Shout out to Jason Kadams as well.
And Jason Kadams. Shout out to him.
He really took over that show.
And it follows the fictional Dillon Panthers high school football team in Dillon, Texas. It was adapted originally. Have you ever read the book Friday Night Lights?
I have read the book.
Okay.
And I read the sequel. I can't remember what it was called, though. I think it's like After Friday Night. I can't remember, but it was like a little short follow-up.
Saturday morning lights off.
Saturday morning sleeping.
Buzz Bissinger wrote a 1990 book called Friday Night Lights, and it was actually nonfiction, like based on this Texas high school football team. In 2004, there was the Friday Night Lights movie,
also directed by Peter Berg.
Yes, and also starring Connie Britton, who's in Friday Night Lights.
Buddy Garrity is also makes an appearance, but
oh really?
Yeah, he's got like a beard in it.
And those stories just never really resonated with me. I didn't really like the vibe of the Friday Night Lights movie, but the show
Billy Bob was great in that. I like the Friday Night Lights movie, but continue your point.
I can't take Billy Bob Thornton.
That's fair.
The Angelina, you know, like some things stick with you. The fact that him and Angelina Jolie wore vials of each other's blood around their neck has forever tainted them in my eyes.
Don't judge love.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, back to the show.
So Friday Night Lights, first episode, October 3rd, 2006. There it was. And lasted for 5 seasons, 2 of which were started on NBC, and then 3 of which people had to fight and scream and crawl and tackle for this show to stay on air.
Yeah, fans were dedicated to keeping it going.
So the last couple seasons aired first on some weird DirecTV channel,
yeah,
and then later rebroadcast on Friday Night Lights. I remember hearing
this, on NBC, you mean?
Yeah,
you
on NBC.
On Friday Night Lights.
Also on the Friday Night Lights network. The fans of the show would send in light bulbs.
Yeah.
Yep. Lights and then eye drops. You know,
yeah,
why they send
clear
an
eyes.
Eye drops.
Yeah,
clear
I
eyes,
remember.
Can't lose.
I was reading a lot about that.
It's a very classic example of one of those TV shows that had critical success. I mean, critically, people love it. It's been said to have maybe the best television pilot of all time.
I would argue finale as well, but
oh gosh, I'm getting teary eyed. And then also
someone get him the eye drops.
Didn't have the best ratings, like why it got pushed to DirecTV. So we just felt like we needed to do an episode to talk about the show and what it's meant to us. And
it's been a big deal for us.
Yeah. You are literally wearing a East Dillon football T-shirt.
I felt like I had to this week. And look, here's the thing. If you haven't seen the show, we're probably going to say stuff about what happens. So just know, I mean, it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
So I think we're free to talk about it pretty openly.
Yeah, we won't spoil any huge plot lines, hopefully, but
who knows?
But we might.
Who knows?
So
you've been
warned, Eric. Tell us how you were first introduced to the show.
Yeah, man,
because you were an early adopter.
I was. Yeah, I actually saw the first episode on October 3rd, 2006. I used to watch network TV quite a bit. You know, I think The Office was on back then. All that sort
CSI
of stuff. Not that network, mainly just NBC. But like,
Desperate Housewives.
But so I saw a lot of previews for this show, and I remember being like, man, I really want to watch this. And so young 18-year-old Eric Milner in his parents' basement tuned in on October 3rd to watch the first episode of Friday Night Lights. And to your point, I mean, the best pilot, the best first episode of a show I've ever seen in my life.
So I was a much later adopter. I actually started watching it. You and our friend Marshall were like obsessed with it. And when you and I moved together, it wasn't until couple years later, junior year of college, when we were living together, that you had the box set on DVD, and I finally sat down and started
ripping
through
it. I think at that point, season 3 was coming out. Yeah. And so I remember we had 3 couches in our living room, one for each of the roommates, and we all three, you, me, and Nathan, would would lie on a couch, our respective couches, and then, I mean, we would watch easily five or six a day. Like, it was a full day of Friday Night Lights, and we burned through the first three seasons.
So I remember watching the pilot and automatically buying into the show. Do you remember, though, watching that pilot for the first time live? Like, do you remember thinking this is going to be something awesome?
100%. I mean, when Jason Street goes down, and then they kind of just, like, throw... I mean, you knew Matt Saracen was going to be a part of the show, but you didn't realize, like, he's going to take over the team. And, like, the way it was shot where Matt Saracen was stepping up to the plate while Jason was going under the knife was just, like, one of the highest points of any television show for me. And I'm just watching it. I'm legitimately at the edge of my seat and just being like, man, I'm all in on this. Episode one, I was all in. And, sure, there was, like, some corny high school elements that at the time I thought were really lame and now I find very endearing.
Like, almost nostalgic. Right.
Like, the whole, like, the super heavy PDA... relationship between Lila and Street, which is like fine. Like, it sounds really like stupid to talk about now, but I remember being there. I was like, man, this is really high school. But it was, and that's the point, and that's why it was so good.
So let's just take a second. Let's talk about some of our favorite parts of the show, whether that be storylines or characters. For me, maybe the thing that's resonated with me most about the show is just the relationship or marriage between Coach Eric Taylor and his wife, Tammy Taylor.
There's never been a better depiction of what, like, I would want a marriage to be on television than Coach and Tammy. It's like a very give and take, a very understanding. Like, sure, they get upset with each other, but they work it out. It's mature.
It's very realistic. And I mean, I watched the show before I got married and, felt that same way of watching it. Be like, that's what I hope my marriage is like.
That's what I'm looking for.
Not that I was a high school football coach or anything, but... just that the kind of rapport that they had in the way, I mean, ultimately the finale comes down to like a sacrifice,
the serious
husband
finale.
And wife. Yeah.
Oh man. When he comes down the escalator, he's like, it's your turn taking with you. Oh man.
But like a lasting scene for me is just when they're hosting in season one and she finds out kind of on the fly that she has to host that barbecue.
Oh yeah.
And they're underneath the table.
You're going under the table.
They're underneath the table. And there's just like a very realistic fight. You know, I feel like in most TV or movies, husband and wives are either like the relationship is always perfect and it's unrealistic, or there's like a very unhealthy relationship, physically or verbally.
My favorite part, when they're under the table and she's like, when I go up there, I'm going to give you the smile that you want, but like down here, I'm angry. And
down
I can't,
here, I'm angry.
Like, and she's totally right. And she's like, look, I understand that we have responsibilities, but like, I'm very upset with what's happening here. And I think that's just like, I don't know. The way that was written was so great.
And as far as, you know, gender roles and in a marriage,
strong
I think
woman
for a show about high school football, where, you know, the role of a head high school football coach is very machismo masculine role. They never really sunk into like her being a secondary character. You know, the way Coach Taylor viewed his football career, like his players, the way he treated his players, the way they treat his kids was always with like Tammy's worldview. And that was just,
well, you know, that was like a big part of what brought Connie Britton to the table. Cause she played the coach's wife in the movie as well. And when Peter Berg offered her the part, she's like, why would I want to do that? Like, I didn't even have a line in the movie. Yeah. I was just sort of there to be there. And that was a big part of the character from the beginning was like, we need you to be a strong character and a main character. And she just step to the plate and plays it so well.
Outside of Coach and Tammy, which is maybe the most obvious, were there any other character relationships that really stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Matt and his grandmother is just absolutely incredible. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I thought you were going Matt and Landry, and then we
Matt
were talking
Landry
about our friendship.
Oh, you want to go down that road?
But no, that's all right.
No, man, there's not enough time in a podcast to talk about that. But you know, the way Matt has to take care of his grandmother and how he's just like a kid himself, you know, his dad's off to war, his mom's out of the picture, and then he's left there as a minor who's supposed to be being taken care of and being like, you know, poured into and, you know, being taught how to live life. He has to step up, and like, it's perfect that he's thrown into a role like that on the field as well when he has to step up and become quarterback one of the most highly anticipated football team in Texas of that year. I mean, you can't write it better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I will go down the road that I want to go down, but not just Landry and, Matt Saracen's relationship, but just the way that the show depicted friendships.
Huge.
I mean, I think of in season one, where after it's after Street. Is it after Street? Yeah, it's after Street's been paralyzed, but when they talk about just living large in West Texas.
No, it's actually before. It's before the game. They're at their like bonfire.
Yeah.
Let's touch God this time, boys.
And just the friendships in the show, how loyal, dedicated like people were to each other.
How old was Tim Riggins in the plot? Because like Jason Street being a senior hanging out with, I think, a sophomore as his lifelong best friend. It's a little weird.
It's a little weird.
There's some timetable. There's some stuff. Yeah, look nothing's perfect.
But. So kind of moving through the show, this has been pretty season one heavy. In season two, there's maybe one of the worst plot happenings ever.
Talking about the murder or the shark stem cell plot, which those are two things I just said. Which I can't believe I just said.
Yeah, the shark stem cell treatment of Jason Street seems more like something we would have talked to on our about on our conspiracy theory pod.
Very much
I'm more talking about the murder, which, you know, there was a writer's strike. It was a rough, tumultuous season.
Well, again, they weren't getting the ratings they wanted, so they're like, let's lean a little more teen heavy, and that just wasn't what the show was. And so, you know what, There's mistakes that happen, but I can overlook these little flaws. Yeah, like murdering
someone.
Okay.
That's okay. Outline. Wolf. So that could have derailed the show completely. But then, coming back in season three.
Whew.
Summer's over. And they have another season.
Like, yeah, we're still at Dillon High School. And there's like this underlining plot throughout that there may be like a split of the school.
Yeah.
It happens probably about halfway through the season. They start kind of talking about it.
And so when I look back at the show as a whole and I look at, they could have just easily ended it after three seasons of Dillon High School football, you know, the J.D. McCoy plot of, you know, him challenging Matt Saracen could have been this kind of like last plot line and end the show. And it could have just ended there. But what they decided to do with season four and five might be the thing that I appreciate most about the writing, directing and creation of the show.
Yeah, I mean, so they had three really solid seasons going one direction, and then not the band, but just like the, you know, One Direction. But don't do it. You look like you're about
live
to sing.
Live while you're young. I'm just thinking that. The only thing I really know about One Direction is that Drew Brees commercial from like 3 years ago. I think it's for Pepsi.
No clue.
Okay.
No clue. Anyway.
It's so football related.
There's this shift that happens where all of a sudden Coach Taylor is fired from his position. And it's a school split.
Ousted.
He's ousted by, like, it's basically a coup.
Yes.
By rich boosters. And then all of a sudden, he's having to teach at this new high school.
A veritable rich booster coup, if you will.
Veritable. And so he has to teach at this high school in the inner city. And the show just takes a shift from something that's about, like, high school drama and football and relationships and starts broadening the scope and starts talking about social issues and starts kind of talking about like sports mentorship and things like that. Yep. When you look at where, you know, when you meet the new main character, because after, you know, all our main characters are basically gone in season four for the most part.
Yeah. They basically had to come up with an entire new football team besides Landry.
Right. Bringing Landry over, big move. But like when you meet when you meet Vince, he's running from the cops and it's this very typical, like, this is a troubled youth who's going to be put in the football program. And then to give two seasons to his maturity and his growth and his time with Coach Taylor, leading to the finale where it's like Coach Taylor walks up to him. He's like, you may never know how much you mean to me. And then he goes, and then Vince goes, you changed my life, Coach. And like that, those
I,
like
I
two
I just
pieces
got
of,
chills.
Yeah,
I just
those
got chills
two pieces
say.
Of dialogue. We're 2 years in the making, and it just pays off in such a big way because the show handles everything so perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I remember after three seasons, you always want more, but I think the more mature of a viewer you get, you start understanding how terrible it can get. Like with things like The Office, when they just go on and on
and on.
And so I think after three seasons of Friday Night Lights, as a fan of the show, as somebody who just enjoyed watching it from week to week, I wanted it to keep going, but I was always also like, man, what are they going to do? Make a new high school?
Right.
And
like, how are they going to keep
so
Tim Riggins
well.
In high school another year?
Yeah.
You know,
it
how
wasn't,
are they going to do this?
Like you said, it wasn't the typical, like the stereotypical, what they did really well in the first three seasons of high school drama and dating and all this stuff. But they opened it up to talk about, you know, the difference between rural and urban life, the difference between, you know, like there was a big abortion plot that I thought they handled really like,
yeah, we're
nuanced,
like,
in a nuanced way.
Or we're a principal basically. Yeah. Where Tammy was giving options and then was attacked by the parents, yeah. Not physically, but you know what yeah. I mean? And so, yeah, they handle really serious issues with grace and like with intelligence. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Some of the football plots are a little unbelievable.
There's a lot of close games,
A lot of, Hail Marys, things like that. But yeah,
my eyes were open.
My eyes are open.
Coach. Yeah, no, but like, yeah, the fact that, you know, in 2 years, a high school football program can go from worst to first.
Forfeiting a game.
Yeah. To winning state. I mean, I don't know. High school, who knows?
Yeah. Anything can happen.
That's what's fun about high school football.
I think we alluded to it earlier, but I think another endearing part of the show is just the catchphrase, clear eyes, full hearts can't lose.
Oh man.
When you think about how a show like ties itself or binds itself to people's lives, like that literally not to sound, like super idealistic or emotional or sentimental or thing, but like there have been many times in my life where I've thought about that phrase or like,
heck yeah, man.
Like motivated myself by saying, hey, clear eyes, full hearts can't lose. Like that's a very true, it should be a Bible verse. If we could amend the Bible,
you'd throw that in there.
I would throw Jesus that would in say there. That. Jesus would say that. That's on the Sermon of the Mount.
That might be in the New Message Bible.
Oh gosh.
The Friday Night Lights Message Bible that I'm writing.
You want to take a second before we transition into talking about some of our favorite characters from the show. Do you want to talk about the music on the show? Because you are my music guru. Any music that I listen to comes from you. And that show's music,
it's top notch. I mean, every episode, I used to make playlists for Friday Night Lights. I mean,
Well, first of all, let's talk about Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah, so they did all the music for the movie, and then they also really heavily influenced the song's intro. But they use a couple songs of them throughout. And, like, no better band is used for emotion than Explosions in the Sky. Like, it just works out so perfectly.
I also really love their, in the end of season one, very last episode, Dylan Panthers wins state, and they play the song Devil Town, which is like originally Daniel Johnston.
Yeah, that's right.
Bright Eyes has a cover of it, but they use Tony Luca's version. And it's just this awesome, where you expect it to be this, these guys won state, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be We Are the Champions, it's going to be this like crazy fanfare. They just play the song, it's kind of like a slow folksy version, and it just feels, you know, it both critiques how the town like worships these guys, but then at the same time, you can look at something like a high school football championship as trivial, but when you, in like the grand scheme of life, but when you look at the entire arc of the season and what the team's been through and how football interacts with each character's lives, like it really is this momentous thing. So the music in the show,
it helps make the show. It's honest. It wouldn't be near as good without like the song selections that they do.
Yeah, I can't think of another show besides maybe the OC.
I would say the OC would be the closest used thing.
Good music, but then also just used music well in the show.
No, I completely agree with you. The music makes the show. I can't really go on any further than that. Let's
look at like so.
Who do you think won Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, I wanted to frame this in terms of Greg Popovich.
Okay, like
Greg Popovich is the greatest basketball coach to ever live. Even if he doesn't have the most wins or championships,
far and away the
best man. So they talk about like the Popovich coaching tree and how like coaches that have coached under Greg Popovich go on to do great things.
Yes.
I think there's a Friday Night Lights tree of just being on Friday Night Lights. And then,
I mean, there's some big stars that have come out of Friday Night Lights.
Characters going on to do awesome things. So let's just talk about real quick, kind of like who won after Friday Night Lights ended, because it is very hard to see like people who played characters that you loved in a show do other things.
I compare it to watching, like, you know, Ben Zobrist won the World Series with the Royals, and it's hard to see him as a Chicago Cub now.
Yeah.
It's like the same kind of thing. It's weird to see them in another role.
That's a great that's a great analogy. But I think the Friday Night Lights actors that have gone on to do awesome things, you're just happy for them because they're all a part of this great thing, and they have like reunion shows, and they're all glad to be a part of it. And yeah, so who do you think won after Friday Night Lights ended?
I mean, I think the real sleeper pick for who won would be Jesse Plemons, who played Landry Clark.
Lance.
An underrated character. Lance, his coach would call him. I mean, look, to come onto the show as the best friend of the backup quarterback and then be able to stick around long enough to become one of the main characters of the show And then after it, to go on to be in movies like The Master and Black Mass, and then shows like Breaking Bad, and then being in the second season of Fargo, which, I mean, that resume is packed right there.
And his role in the final season of Breaking Bad is incredible.
And, I mean, and in Fargo. Yeah, both. Like, it's absolutely just that guy outkicked his coverage. He's playing with house money at this point. Like, who would have thought Landry Clark would maybe be the most successful guy after Friday Night Lights?
Well, he's not, because that would be Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan is another one. I mean, Kyle Chandler.
Yeah, I was going to say, for who I believe won, everyone's probably expecting me to say Michael B. Jordan, just because
I am.
We love Michael B. Jordan.
He's the best.
I even think the new Fantastic Four movie is not bad because of Michael B. Jordan.
You love bad superhero movies, I'm starting to figure out. I haven't seen it, but
Michael B. Jordan played Vince Howard, the quarterback for the East Dillon Lions, and he went on to be in Fruitvale Station, Creed.
A short run in Parenthood. A
little run in Parenthood.
Where they make a Friday Night Lights.
But I'm going to say that who won after Friday Night Lights is Connie Britton.
Oh, my love.
Mrs. Coach. She went on to... Women
crush every day.
Pretty much, like, run the show Nashville, and maybe the whole city of Nashville, which Nashville I watched for many seasons.
Is it still going?
They're ending it.
They're going to end it?
I think they might... like be extending it on like another network or something random, but like CMT or something. But I think her role is done in it. Nashville is not as good of a show as movies that Michael B. Jordan's in or Kyle Chandler's been in. But I think that Connie Britton just won because of how much people love her because of playing Mrs. Coach.
Her name's Tammy Taylor.
She literally seems like she is Tammy Taylor in real life.
She wrapped that character up. And that's
what you always hope for, is that the characters that you love are the people in real life. And she is just a outspoken, beautiful, individualistic, just wonderful person.
She's great. You know, when Nashville first started doing promos, when I saw she was in it, it made me watch the first few episodes. Like, she was enough. Like, if she's in a project, if it interests me a little bit, she's enough to take me there.
Connie Britton's fantastic. Her hair is fantastic always. One little bit of last legacy of Friday Night Lights is it's inspired both of our fantasy football teams.
Oh man, the Friday Night Lights Classic, the annual Friday Night Lights Classic.
So in our Fountain City Football League, fantasy football league, your team name is
Coach Taylor Swift.
And my name is Voodoo Tatum, Ray Voodoo Tatum, the Hurricane Katrina transplant to Dylan. Might be my favorite Friday Night Lights character of all time.
He's great. He's one of the best villains in TV.
So whenever Eric and I play in fantasy football, it's Voodoo Tatum versus Coach Taylor Swift.
It's very much the Friday Night Lights classic. I look forward to it every year. It's my favorite. Like, I don't care what my record is. Yep. I want to win that game every year.
Yep.
And I can't wait to beat you this year. I think it comes up in a few weeks. We'll probably talk about it when it comes up. I think
nothing people love more than hearing about other people's fantasy.
Yeah, people love. Let's talk more about fantasy football for people not in our league.
All right, let's transition into our chalkboard this week, which I think we could do 25 million hours of podcasting on Friday Night Lights. So what we just did, even though it probably seems too long, doesn't seem long enough. But for the chalkboard this week, we decided to do our most underrated Friday Night Lights characters.
So yeah,
do you want to start?
I do. I'm going to start with one of my favorite characters who never got near enough screen time, Hastings Ruckel of the East Dillon Panthers. He was sniped from the basketball team by Coach Taylor to play football at wide receiver. He's a big reason that they won the state championship in this fifth season. And then, you know, he doesn't even really get a part of the epilogue, anything. It's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, you don't really know, like, what happened to him.
And it's always hard when you introduce a new character in the last season, but I feel like he should have gotten more time. I really liked Hastings Ruckel. Big fan.
Long hair.
Not that long. Not Reagan's long.
He had long hair, though.
Okay.
All right. My first underrated character is Mayor Lucy Rodell, the mayor of Dillon.
Dude, she was almost on my list. She's a puppeteer.
In the first couple of seasons, she is just this feisty mayor just wants her football team to win. There's that scene when she goes up to, is it Jason Street?
It's Jason Street, talking about the party.
She's talking about music. And he's like, you better be listening to Metallica. Yeah, like, trying to Metallica. Try to get him hyped up.
It's just funny
to imagine. I feel like she is definitely a caricature of like a small town mayor, but she's just so funny and forceful, especially in like a situation like that. I just had to throw in there as well.
Great underrated character. Yeah. My next one is Karina Williams.
Oh.
Smash's mom.
Okay.
She's just great. You know, hardworking single mother. Has, I think, 3 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's a breadwinner, you know, and she works hard and she supports her son. And, you know, she really cares about his future. That was a big deal about when he was going into college and stuff like that.
She does not want him on the couch of the white girl.
No. When him and Tyra were hooking up. That was not good. And she goes, my name's Tyra. And she goes, well, my name's Karina. I work at Planned Parenthood. I'll probably be seeing more of you. I was like, whoa, shots fired.
That might be like one of the best takedowns in the show ever.
That wasn't the right quote, but like it's along those lines. It was really funny. Oh, man. All right. What's your next one?
Man, I forgot about Wade Aikman. I almost chose Wade Aikman.
Are you talking about the assistant coach? The
assistant coach, but I'm not. My choice is going to be an assistant coach. But it's Coach Stan Straub from
he's the only one who goes to East Dillon.
Yeah, no, he doesn't go. Oh,
you're talking about the guy who worked in the electronics store.
Yeah, he works at Sears or something, but is like obsessed with football and obsessed with Coach Taylor. And he's like this super enthusiastic.
They could have made that character so bad.
Well, they see him in a gay bar. Remember, there's the one scene. So there's an allusion to, and that was actually a critique of the show that, hey, they could have made like a really interesting, like, gay football coach character and explored like what that would mean to a team like that, and they didn't really dig into it. But he,
there's only so much time to deal with assistant coaches.
The show's not infallible though.
All right, that's
right. Yeah, he was just a hilarious kind of foil to Coach Taylor's no nonsense, let's do football. And he would just get so pumped up and like echo what Coach said. And I just love that he like worked at the electronics department at Sears.
Yeah, and then just volunteered his time. Yeah. Speaking of volunteer assistant coaches, my next underrated character is Billy Riggins. Now, Billy Riggins had plenty of screen time, but I think if you're going to pick a Riggins in the show, you always go with Tim. Just the way it is.
That's who you think of.
Billy
Riggins is kind of a terrible person.
Early on, I mean, he steals his brother's girlfriend in season 2.
His brother goes to jail for him.
Yeah, but that wasn't his call. Tim Riggins stepped up to the plate on that one. But yeah, look, Billy Riggins was just a small town guy, you know, who was getting wrapped up in bad stuff. And then when his brother goes to jail for him, he turns his life around because he has a kid, gets married to an ex-stripper. But then starts coaching for Coach Taylor
and kind of finds his niche.
Yeah. And then makes them all do like warrior dances before every game, which is one of my favorite, like little things in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Cause Buddy Jr. gets injured doing the dance.
And it's something that's so silly, but is literally something real high school football.
Right. And when you talk about it, you're like, why am I even bringing this up? But it makes you smile every time you see it. So Billy Riggins definitely is an underrated character for me. I would have loved a spin off of him.
Yeah. Okay. My last character is Vernon Merriweather, father of Jess Merriweather, owner of a delicious barbecue joint.
Man, I was really bummed he was not back in season 5.
I know. So he is a former. So when they open up the school again in East Dillon and start the football team, he used to play football for East Dillon. He's like a legend. He owns what looks to be a very delicious barbecue joint.
He looks so southern.
Yeah, he's gone a lot of time. A lot of the time, because he's like out trying to open
in
a
season
new store.
5. He's franchising, so
yeah,
it seems like he's
being
successful.
Yeah, he's opened up a new barbecue store in Dallas,
which I think means the actor probably had another job.
That's true. Yeah, but I just liked him. I like that he owned a barbecue restaurant.
He was a real tough guy.
He was. You know? He's like the football legend in the town that everyone kind of looks up to.
Yeah, he's great. All right. Well, those are great underrated characters. Let's move into picks of the week. I think we can put a fork in Friday Night Lights. That was a great conversation.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Can't lose. All right. Well, hey, so I'll start with my pick of the week. I'll just get moving on it. My pick of the week is something that came out a couple weeks ago, but I just recently dove into. It's a record called We're All Gonna Die by the band Dawes.
Oh.
I mean, that's one of my favorite bands. The record, not the most optimistic title, but you know, it's their 5th record, and it may not be their best one that I've heard, but I think their writing's really strong and in it. I don't love some of the Black Keys production, but I think overall it's like a really good listen. There's some lyrics that are just killer.
Overrated the Black Keys, but continue.
Well, that was my critique. There's some Black Keys production in it. But there's this track called Roll Tide. And
is it about Alabama football?
It's not, but I keep thinking about it.
Oh.
It's actually about like tides and whatnot. It's really good.
Oh, real tides.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where that expression came from, I guess. I honestly had no idea what it meant. But yeah, so that's my pick of the week.
Cool. My pick of the week is a TV show that came out in 2012 and only had 13 episodes. And this is what I kind of like about it, is that it's a 13 episode, one story, just told. I think it did get canceled. That's why it didn't go on, but it actually wraps itself up pretty well.
What is it?
It's Awake.
I've never heard of it.
NBC's Awake. It is incredible.
Oh, hang on. Didn't Marshall get on this with you?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys were talking about this. This is like Marshall and I's
thing that, it's like our thing that we think is so underrated that no one like ever
watches. It's called Awake? Who's in that? It's
called Awake. Nobody that you really know. Jason Isaacs is the
actor. Wait, isn't it the bad guy from The Patriot?
Yes.
Okay.
The bad guy from The Patriot.
Yeah.
Like the British general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The lobster back.
The red coat. Anyway, he is a police officer who gets in a car accident with his wife and son. He's like a detective, and then he finds himself like torn between two different worlds, one in which his son survived, but his wife is dead, and then like another reality in which the wife is the one that survived,
and
you don't
dead.
Know the whole time. You don't know like which one is real, which one's not. It is just a great, yeah. So the conflict is he tries to keep both like going, both realities. And so he like begins living in both of them. And
does it have a resolution with it being only one season?
It does. And the resolution is called Turtles All the Way Down, which is the title of a
Sturgill Simpson.
Sturgill Simpson
and a theory of life.
Yes. So Awake on NBC, I think it's on Netflix. If not, it's, I'm sure you can stream it on NBC or something like that.
All right, man. Well, that does it for us this week. I think I'm going to go watch Mudbowl a couple times. One of my favorite episodes.
Of Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
I'm going to go write my treatise on why Santiago is actually an underrated Friday
Don't
Night
you
Lights
dare
character.
Bring up Santiago
I like
to me.
Santiago.
You know better than that.
I like
you know
Santiago.
Better than that. Oh,
thank
my
you,
gosh.
Guys.
Guys,
enjoy
thank
this
you
week.
So much. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week, all right?